The odds of recession are low, but not that low. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. As the U.S. grapples with rising prices, the Federal Reserve is trying hard to knock inflation down. And anytime the Fed does this, there is a chance it could knock too hard. What does that look like? It looks like recession. Goldman Sachs put the odds of the U.S. slipping into recession in the next 2 years at 35%. Julia Coronado is founder and president of Macro Policy Perspectives and joins us to talk about it. Hi, Julia.
Good morning.
So if we were to see some sort of slowdown coming our way, you know, more than we would like, where would we see it?
Well, the way the Fed is trying to slow the economy is through higher interest rates, and we are seeing higher mortgage rates. Mortgage rates are now comfortably above 5% for the first time in many years. So we would expect to see it probably in housing, and we get a round of housing data for March this week, housing sales, housing construction. It's a little early to see higher rates bite yet, but that is probably the first place we're going to be looking for. Higher rates starting to hurt economic activity or slow economic activity.
Now, throwing a wrench into all of this is China. We just learned China's GDP rose 4.8%, but at the same time, its jobless claims are also rising. The lockdowns there are quite severe. Could that affect prices here in the U.S.?
Well, yes, we are all tied together in a global economy. So if China, the GDP was a little complicated. It was stronger than expected, but it wasn't coming from the consumer. So, you know, as you noted, job market and consumer spending isn't strong. If Chinese consumers are weak, then you might see some pressure coming off of global prices, global commodity prices. And it is an indication that they are having to rely on a lot of stimulus to keep their economy on track. The Chinese economy sort of has the opposite problem we have, where they're trying to stimulate their economy to get growth back up, and we're trying to cool ours down.
Julia Coronado, founder and president of Macro Policy Perspectives, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Far-right website InfoWars, owned by radio host Alex Jones, has filed for bankruptcy, along with two more companies he owns. These companies were driven to ruin by one word, liability. Jones was found liable for defamation last year after calling the 2012 Sandy Hook Elementary School shootings a hoax. That lie had a price tag, and it was more than those companies could afford. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab has more.
InfoWars has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy, and this allows companies to pause pending litigation and keep running while working on a plan to reorganize the business. Jones's companies filed for bankruptcy in Southern Texas with estimated liabilities of as much as $10 million each. Jones has claimed that the victims of the Sandy Hook shootings were staged actors and that the killings never happened. He's now facing multiple defamation lawsuits in Connecticut and Texas from relatives of people who died. Judges in both states have issued default judgments after Jones refused to hand over financial documents. Lawyers representing Jones say these probes into his company's finances are a fishing expedition and that these defamation lawsuits were filed to silence free speech. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
Today and tomorrow, we're going to get new data on the housing market in the U.S. How many houses were sold? How many building permits were issued? How many homes started construction? The answer, almost certainly, not enough. One of the biggest drivers of rising home prices is a lack of supply. Not enough existing homes, not enough new ones. Home builders aren't able to build fast enough to meet demand right now. Marketplace's Mariel Segura explains what is getting in the way.
One of the big problems here, and maybe you're getting tired of hearing us say it, but it's the supply chain.
Builders have a lot of homes under construction.
Jeff Tucker is a senior economist at Zillow.
You know, what builders need is for all the materials to get delivered. They need the appliances. They need garage doors.
And before they can even get there, they need raw materials. Jim Gaines is a research economist at Texas A&M University.
Lumber and concrete and bricks and roofing materials, et cetera. The cost of all that has gone up, but also just simply the availability. It's just not as available.
Plus, there's the labor shortage, not enough carpenters or electricians or truck drivers to meet demand. And then there's the land problem. It exists, but because of zoning rules and other regulations, it can be hard to start building on. The paperwork takes forever.
Local municipalities and even counties in the past several years have had to cut back staff and have not added the staff back to simply get the job done. And some of the people who are being hired to restaff are not as experienced.
What I didn't understand when I first started reporting this story, though, was, I mean, where is this demand even coming from? Okay, so people want new homes, but what about the ones they currently live in? Are there a bunch of places just sitting empty? The answer to that is no. Turns out it's the millennials' fault again. There were a lot of us born around the year 1990. We don't want to live with our parents or with roommates anymore, and we have finally saved up enough avocado toast money to buy a house. Here's Jeff Tucker again.
So there's just this unusually huge wave of people going through that life transition.
And the only thing that's going to slow that demand, and we have started seeing the beginnings of this, is when prices go too high. I'm Mary Elsegarra for Marketplace.
Avocado toast money. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.